Hi, and welcome to Late Night with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally, dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation yourself if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's toll-free, 888-677-9673. And you can give us a call on that, or you can call our local number, 216-901-0933. That's 216-901-0933. And let's go ahead and open our program this evening with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. And Lord, as we think of the things that are going on in the world around us, Lord, I just pray that we can sort things out according to your word. We pray you guide and direct us, Lord. Use the program tonight. Be a blessing and a help to somebody. Maybe we could be something that we can talk about that would help point somebody to Christ, that they might find him as their Savior. Lord, we just pray, bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's good to be on the air tonight. And here in northeastern Ohio, it's got a little bit chilly here. It's October's a transition month, and boy, have we been transitioning. I was outside doing some work outside yesterday, and I saw something bouncing off from my arm, and I looked at it, and I thought, well, it's water, but it's not liquid. Little tiny ice pellets bouncing off from my arms, and a little bit later on, some more come down and started bouncing off me, and fortunately, it wasn't like it was snowing or anything. It was just a little too cold for the ice pellets to melt on the way down and turn into raindrops, but it's just a reminder that winter's on its way, and wherever you are, I hope you're going to get some good weather this week, because I wanted to point out that coming up this week on Wednesday, actually it would be early Wednesday morning, if you want to watch a lunar eclipse this Wednesday morning in the Eastern time zone, probably a little before 7 in the morning. If you get out, I think the moon is supposed to be at totality in regards to total lunar eclipse at, I think, just a few minutes before 7 on Wednesday morning. And if you want to see the beginning of it, of course, you'd have to be up a little bit earlier. I'm not sure the exact time that you'll be able to see the Earth's shadow begin to creep across the face of the moon. But I'm sure at least somewhere, maybe an hour or more before that. So if you get up early Wednesday morning, if you're further west, you'll be able to see much more of it from beginning till end here in the eastern half of the United States, because it's going to be a little before 7 in the morning. If you remember, in order to have a lunar eclipse, the moon has to be on the exact opposite side of the Earth. That's why you see the Earth's shadow go across the face of the moon, and so as the moon is setting, the sun will be rising, and a good way to visualize it is if you stand with your arms extended out to either side, your left arm and your right arm with the fist at each end, as you're turning, you can see that your left fist is directly opposite your body from your right fist as you're standing there with your arms outstretched, and that's kind of like what's happening. So as the moon is setting, the sun will be rising, and so though you'll get the, you should be able to see the total lunar eclipse, the moon should set in the eastern United States prior to the completion of the lunar eclipse. So that's coming up this Wednesday morning, and of course that's the second lunar eclipse this year, and the second of a current people are calling the Blood Moon Tetrad, which is a series of four lunar eclipses. A total lunar eclipse is sometimes called a blood moon because the moon takes on a reddish sort of a coppery or blood red color, depending on the weather on the earth that particular night. And that, that as a result of the sunlight being refracted through the earth's atmosphere and then reflected off from the moon, just the same reason that you often get red skies at night when the sun sets or in the morning when the sun's rising, because you're seeing the refracted rays of the sun. But that's going to be the second in this current lunar or blood moon tetrad, the first one having been on Passover. And of course, if you've seen much of the hype about blood moon, the blood moon tetrad, I actually talked about it on our Friday program back last, I'm trying to think when that was for Passover. I think that was back in March or April. And I do have that program listed on our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can listen to that there. But the blood moon tetrad is a total lunar eclipse, four in a row, occurring on Passover, followed by the Hebrew holiday of Sukkot, or the Feast of Tabernacles, in the same year, and then again the following year on Passover and Sukkot, and no partial eclipses, lunar eclipses in between, no other lunar eclipses in between. And it only happens every once in a while. We may talk about that a little bit more later on. I have some other things I want to get to, but that's something that you get a chance to see. It ought to be pretty interesting. Let's see what else is going on out there. There's some interesting developments taking place in Syria, Turkey, and Iraq, as well as in Iran, in regards to the Kurds and the Islamic State that I want to touch upon yet this evening. But of course, you can get in tonight with your questions about the Bible or current events by giving us a call. 216-901-0933 is a local number, toll-free anywhere in the U.S. or Canada, I believe. 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we have Fran calling in here this evening. And Fran, welcome to Late Night Live at Pastor Al.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, I'm good evening. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you. I'm interested in what's going on with this chemtrail and contrails. There's a lot of chemicals coming down on Earth from you know, they're using that aren't not good by the military. And
well, I actually got a little difference of opinion on that, because in order to pull off the chemtrail things that people talk about, what you're seeing is condensation trails, and they've been around as you know for quite some time. Because in order to pull off the chemical, the idea of putting chemicals in the atmosphere, nobody has come up yet with an explanation for where all these chemical, these millions of gallons of chemicals a year are being produced. Where's the tankers that are carting them all across the countryside to airports, and where are they being stored at the airports, and who's overseeing the loading of all these chemicals into specialized tanks on the aircraft, and who maintains the spraying equipment? Because, see, crop dusters that spray chemical pesticides on crops, there's a lot of work that goes involved in getting those chemicals into the aircraft in special tanks with special pumps and spraying equipment, nozzles and such not, that have to be maintained and repaired periodically. And all you ever hear about is pumping some kind of chemicals into the sky. And I was walking into a store one time, my wife and I got out of the car, and somebody said, "Oh, I see a chemtrail in the sky. That must be why my nose is stuffed up." And I'm thinking, well, if there was a chemtrail in the sky, anything that was in it is going to come down to the earth, if it does in the next year or two. Hundreds of miles away, so just because you see it, it's going to be too far away to have any effect on you here. So I guess you could say, well, something that was hundreds of miles away is what's coming down. But the concentrations to do what people are saying, it's just too big of a project. There would have to be tankers. Somebody did a study one time, and they surveyed it. If you were spraying it at the concentration to be effective, for instance, like what crop dusters used for insecticides, for instance, you would have to have more tanker flights up in the air than annually all of our domestic air flights in the course of a year. There would have to be that and more of these special tankers up in the air. And with that, of course, is the risk for accidents. Where's the people who are getting exposed to the chemicals on the ground, loading them? Where's the people coming out saying, yes, I loaded the chemicals, I made the chemicals, I transported the chemicals? Now, having said all that, let me add two things there and real quick. One of them is actually, if you go to our website, livewithpastoral.com, that's livewithpastoral.com, down on the left, I actually have an excerpt from a program where we talked at length about chemtrails. And the other thing that I would add here is the government and the military in particular have done studies where they've released particulates, in the air to study air currents, to study what would happen if there was a nuclear attack, and how would the fallout be dispersed through the winds, or what if somebody did an attack on us with poison gas or biological agents, any number of things. So we have done studies. But studies are a long ways from spraying some kind of population control or mind control chemicals in huge volumes that would exceed the known number of aircraft flying in the skies, in any given year. I probably went on longer than I needed to, but I want to give you a chance to get back in the conversation. It's just that this is something I've looked at, and I think there's a lot more things out there more worth worrying about than chemtrails.
Right. Yes. What about this weather change? Do you think has a lot to do with the, government working and things like they have it's a big thing that I can't think of the name of.
Are you thinking of the HAARP facility in Alaska?
HAARP facility, yeah.
Well, the HAARP facility probably has a little more basis in fact than the chemtrails. And the idea of the HAARP facility, I actually have a friend of mine when I was in the Air Force who. I left the Air Force. He stayed in for a number of years after I did. And he's actually been to the HAARP facility. Now, he couldn't tell me anything about it because then he'd have to shoot me. When we were in the Air Force together, he could have told me. But after I got out so I didn't have the clearances anymore, and he still did. So he got to see some things like that. He's actually been there. So the HAARP facility does exist. That much is true, and part of it involves heating sections of the ionosphere, if I remember correctly, with high energy waves, energizing it, trying to cause, if I can get this straight, I think it would cause, the thought is that they would be able to cause artificial low pressure systems.
Right.
And there may be some evidence that on occasion they have been able to produce some low pressure systems. And here in northeastern Ohio, we can understand low pressure systems in the sense of the storms that come across the Great Lakes are low pressure systems that bring us the heavy weather, the winds, the storms, and in the wintertime, the snowstorms, the Alberta Clippers and such, and lake effect snow. And then, of course, down in Florida and the Gulf Coast and the Atlantic Coast, they certainly understand low pressure systems. Because low pressure systems become tropical storms, become hurricanes. And anybody living in a hurricane area, I know our listeners down in Florida, they well understand the danger of a low pressure system that grows too big and gets out of control. So I would think that there would be a little more to the fact of the HAARP system and possibilities than the chemtrails.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Well, thanks for calling, Fran. I appreciate that. And one thing I would add as well, and I appreciate the call there, is that the Bible says there is a master conspirator. And let me read this passage here over in 2 Thessalonians. I've actually followed conspiracy theories since the time I was in probably fifth or sixth grade. And I've always found them fascinating, but I do have to say that some of my time in the Air Force and things that I was privy to and exposed to kind of tone me down a little bit on some of the overreaching conspiracy theories, the idea that that there's these world groups that walk in lockstep and they never fuss and fight with each other and they always follow their plan to the letter. And I've always thought, you know, since the 1970s, we've always been told, oh, they're just about ready to finalize their plans and take over the world. Well, they haven't done it yet. If they had so much control, why haven't they done it? Well, here's why. In 2 Thessalonians, and I was just there, and my pages turned over. It must be part of the conspiracy, blowing my pages around and here. And so now I've turned the wrong way. Let me get back there. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, and here's what the Bible says about conspiracy theories, I think. 2 Thessalonians, good grief. My pages don't want to cooperate for nothing tonight. Here we go. Chapter 2, verse number 3, it says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." So this is the conspiracy that's already afoot, that the devil is trying to bring forth the Antichrist. And he says that it's not going to have the one world government that the Antichrist is going to bring into power or into being is not going to occur until certain things happen. And here's the key. He says in verse 6, "And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time." So something is keeping the conspirators from accomplishing their goals. And like I said, since the 1970s, I've been reading about conspiracies, one world government plans that are always just within a year or two of coming together, the world even being divided up into 10 regions, which according to the Bible, the Antichrist will have the world divided up into 10 kingdoms, which would be, you could call them government regions. And here it says, something is withholding the devil from being able to bring these conspiracies to fruition. And he says here in verse 7, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work." So it's already in the works. "Only he who now letteth will let." Now, letteth is the same word as withholdeth, and so we understand that it's using it in the older sense of the word to hinder, and like in a legal document, without letter hindrance. He says, "The mystery of iniquity hath already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed." So until God allows the devil to bring the Antichrist onto the world stage, it's not going to happen. The Antichrist may be active, and quite probably is, but see, the devil doesn't know when he's going to be able to bring him on the world stage. I believe the one that's hindering is the Holy Spirit of God working through believers, and as long as the Holy Spirit in his present ministry is working through believers, the devil is not going to be able to fulfill his world government ambitions, bringing the Antichrist on the scene. And these conspiracies, they come and they go. New ones rise up, other ones die out. Most of the major conspiracies today only go back a few hundred years at most, but I'll guarantee that 1,000 years ago there were conspiracies, 2,000 years ago there were conspiracies, 3,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, there were conspiracies to take over the world. Nimrod in the book of Genesis, he wanted to have a one-world government. God kept that from happening. And all the way down through till the present day, these conspirators are going to be blocked until the Holy Spirit's taken out of the way. I believe that's when the rapture of the church, the catching away the believers, will take place. And the Holy Spirit in his current ministry of indwelling believers at the time of their salvation, and he says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. When he's taken out of the way, so do we, or so are we. We go with him. So that's why I'm not as concerned about the conspiracies now. I believe we should watch and we can get an idea what the devil's trying to do, but I think we, in many respects, need to worry more about reaching the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and allowing the devil, or I'm sorry, allowing the Holy Spirit to use us as salt and light in the world so that we can retard the effects or the attempts of the devil to bring his conspiracy theories to fruition. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and our phone number, 888-677-9673. Nancy is on the line, and Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call.
Hi, good evening.
Even, what you just said about the Holy Spirit hindering when the Antichrist would come, don't you think that's an the application would be 2 Chronicles 7:14? If my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. But that would be the Holy Spirit working.
And then today's economy, as the Holy Spirit working through the believers, there's that. And then, as I said, we're called to be salt and light in the world. Light keeps back the darkness. Salt retards spoilage. Mm-hmm. And God's using us for that purpose. And when it's time to allow the Antichrist to bring one or more of these conspiracies to fruition, I believe that we'll be caught up out of here so that the devil can do what we read there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
Well, amen. You know, I just wanted to call with something I just looked up on the internet. It's www.timeanddate.com, eclipse-lunar. So I just wanted to give you
the exact time and date. Yeah, I see now.
The partial eclipse in Cleveland begins at 5:18 a.m., and then the full eclipse begins at 6:27 a.m., and the maximum eclipse is at 6:55.
Right,
full,
right.
Full eclipse is 7:22. I know you said it was around 7 a.m., but I just want to mention that the partial eclipse starts.
Yeah, and then, of course, as the sun comes up, we'll lose sight of it.
Right. And then I wanted to ask you, when we had this first blood moon, you know, the lunar eclipse back in April, it just seems like after that there's a lot of wars against Israel, all these different nations coming against Israel, and then all the ISIS attacks. It just seems like so much started happening after this April blood moon. What do you think about that maybe being a connection? Just curious.
Well, you may be right, and there's been a number of things people debating. Do they have any significance? And it's simply a scientific fact that these lunar eclipses in conjunction with these specific two Jewish holidays, Passover and Sukkot, or the Feast of or Tabernacles, it's just a fact that these only occur every once in a while. I've seen or heard people try to say, well, you know, lunar eclipses occur all the time. What's special about these? Well, it's the conjunction with those two feasts in two successive years. And people have made a case, not that they're, as some people overreact, they're signifying this or prophesying of that. I think that there's something that God has allowed to happen at certain times to call attention, to tell us to look up and see what's happening. Signs in the sky. You know, the sun and the moon and the stars. The Bible says were for signs in the heavens, and signs mostly for the seasons. Obviously, however, we do see some things in conjunction with these since in particular, and we'll have to pick this up on the other side because I want to touch on ISIS or the Islamic State in particular with something in regarding with what you said about wars and things taking place that may have a lot to do with the future events and fulfilling Bible prophecy. But it is very true that I don't have the dates in front of me right now, but in the 1400s, around 1492 or whatever, we had this blood moon tetrad at the time the New World was rediscovered, which became a sanctuary for Jews fleeing from persecution in the Old World. And then, of course, in the, what was it, 48 or 49 time frame, 49, 50, we had when the state of Israel, the modern state of Israel, was founded. And of course, they were founded as a place so the Jews would never have to flee again, as they'd have their own state. And then, of course, in was it around the 67 time frame, there was another lunar blood moon tetrad, and that was the time they took back the Temple Mount and Jerusalem, the site of the sanctuary, the temple. And so in my way of thinking, it would seem like there's a progression from a sanctuary to a state to the temple site, that maybe the next one might, we might see some rebuilding of the temple begin somewhere here in the next year or so, sometime between now and this time next year. But I would never make that as a prophecy. And I think that would be interesting if we do see it. One thing is certain, we do know the temple will be rebuilt, and Daniel chapter 9 says, in troublesome times. And that ties in exactly with what I want to get into the next half hour. I don't have time for it right now, but we are living in troublesome times. The Ayatollah Khomeini, the leader of Iran, is in very poor shape physically. He may be dying, and so there's going to be a struggle for power there. The Islamic State is on the move. There's things happening with the Kurds that I'm going to look at in the next half hour. So stick with us. We got another half hour. We'll be here till midnight. Okay. And I want to share something that just occurred in our Bible study last Friday night. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll stay with us and join in the conversation with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And also, I wanted to mention that we're brought to you tonight, not only by the Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor here in Richfield, Ohio, but also by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio, the home of the homemade pizza. East Coast Pizza has calzones, stromboli, sandwiches, wraps, Lebanese food, and a whole lot more, in addition to some of the best pizza around. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100. And right across from the Garfield Heights High School. Also, if you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, thinking about adding pizza to an existing restaurant or perhaps starting your own pizza shop without all the high franchise fees, why don't you give East Coast Pizza a call at 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus and see how he can help you get you a start in your own pizza shop for a whole lot less than what you might think possible. And it doesn't matter whether you're in Ohio or Florida or anywhere in between. Give Gus a call at East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100. Well, we're going to get back to our program here. We talked about a variety of things here. We've actually spent some time talking a little bit about the lunar eclipse coming up on early Wednesday morning. And if you want to see that, set your alarm clocks, get up about 5 o'clock. And after 5, some of the eclipse will be beginning. And, of course, you'll be able to see it as the moon is getting low in the horizon, eventually sets, and then as the sun comes up, the moon will be setting, and you'll lose sight of it. Unless you live further west, you'll see more of it. But I wanted to mention that we do have some information at our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, Blood Moon Tetrad. There's a program on there Friday, April 11, that you can listen to where we talked about that. And also I've got a list of known Blood Moon Tetrads since the year 32 up until the present time. And so you can see that list on there. And we also spent some time talking about chemtrails. And there's a special program excerpt of a program on there on chemtrails. You can find that as well at livewithpastoral.com. Now, before going into the break, we were talking about things that are happening and could these things have something to do with the times in which we live, Bible prophecy coming to pass, what's happening in the Middle East. And I said I want to talk about specifically the Islamic State. And I want to talk about the Kurds. Last Sunday, we actually mentioned on the radio and actually had a guest on, Chris Long with the Ohio Christian Alliance, who is heading up a project getting winter coats donated for Christians in Iraq and a lot of them in the Kurd-controlled areas of northeastern Iraq, people who have nothing. They've been forced out of their homes by the Islamic State as they've been coming in, driving them out with literally only the clothes on their backs, anything of value taken from their houses, pillaged, and everything of value stolen from their trucks, their cars stolen from them, anything of value that they had stolen from them, forced to leave with only the clothes on their back and forced into the mountains. And of course, weather is getting cold there, cold weather coming in northern Iraq, and they're in many cases without warm clothing. And you can find out more about that at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org, what you can do to help there. They had a coat drive here at the radio station yesterday. I haven't heard how things went with that. But do pray for the Christians in Iraq. They're under intense persecution. And along with them, there's a group called the Kurds. And the Kurds are a very interesting group of people. It's an ethnic group that represents probably about 25 million people in that region, and they have lived in that region for thousands of years. The reason is, if you've read your Bible, you've read about the Kurds. The Kurds are the Medes. Remember when Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians conquered Jerusalem and took the Jewish people into captivity. And then, of course, after that, remember in captivity, the Bible relates that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream of a statue with a head of gold, and Daniel received the interpretation of that from God, and the interpretation was the head of gold represented Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar. And then it had a chest with arms folded across it of silver, and he said that represented the Media-Persian Empire. The Media-Persian Empire rose up and defeated the Babylonians, and they became the next world empire. And we read about the Medes in the Bible, and the Kurds are the modern-day descendants of the Medes. That's who they are. Now, what's really interesting, and this is where it really ties in with some Bible prophecy that's, I think, quite interesting. We were talking about this a little bit on our Friday program. Then we were talking about it in more detail at our Friday night Bible study. And if you're here in the Northeast Ohio area, we have an informal Bible study. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road, Richfield, Ohio, Northern Summit County, right where Interstate 80 and Interstate 77 cross. And every Friday night from 7 o'clock until 9, we have an informal Bible study where people bring questions, and we do just what we do on the radio here on Sunday night, talk about questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. And we're talking about a prophecy in Isaiah chapter 13. This prophecy in Isaiah chapter 13 deals with Babylon, and we usually, and myself, I've done this. In fact, a couple of years ago, I put together a short book called The Coming Arab-Israeli Nuclear War, and in that book, I dealt with this, and I pretty much limited Babylon to modern-day Iraq. But we need to realize that modern-day Iraq's borders were drawn up by the Allies after World War II, and so they're kind of artificial borders. But Babylon here can often refer to, there's various uses of Babylon in the Scripture, but in this particular place or section, it can refer to a city or the people, Babylon, the country. And just like we would say Washington to refer to all of the United States, and sometimes it can be done like that. But the burden of Babylon, it says here in Isaiah 13, and in this, there's a number of things that are going to take place, and there's going to be a large battle, and in the midst of this battle, it says in verse 5, they come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. And in the course of this destruction, the Bible uses such phrases as in verse 8, they shall be afraid, pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them, they shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth, talking about childbirth, they shall be amazed one another, their faces shall be as flames. This is called, this is the Babylonians. It says, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Verse 10 says, for the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And when in the first Gulf War, Saddam Hussein set the oil fields on fire, it was dark at noontime in some areas because the smoke was so great. There's more that he talks about here. Verse 13, he says, therefore I will shake the heavens and the earth, and shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of his fierce anger. And so it talks about this sudden destruction, devastating destruction that comes on Babylon. verse number 19, it says, "In Babylon, the glory of kingdoms and the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah." Well, how were Sodom and Gomorrah overthrown? Fire come down from the sky, fire and brimstone, and they were incinerated, okay? Now, it goes on to say in verse 20, talking about Babylon, "It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there." This is one of the reasons we know this is yet future. There's never a time where the city and the ruins of Babylon or the region of Babylon, the nation of Babylon, could match up to this description, never inhabited generation to generation. Excuse me. And the Arabians not pitching their tents there, the shepherds not making their fold there. However, it says that the wild beasts and such will live there in the ruins of Babylon. Now, in the event of a nuclear disaster, such as Chernobyl, when that took place in the 1980s, people evacuated the area. Animals didn't leave. Animals stayed in and around where the power plant that melted down was, but people did not live there. I would suggest this sounds like a nuclear attack that destroys Babylon. And so then the question comes, if that's what this is, fire raining down that incinerates them, the Babylonians being fearful and in travail and their faces being as flames, and the suggestion is whoever delivers this destruction, they come from a far country, from the end of heaven, when we look at nations that have nuclear weapons, we have Israel, Iran is rapidly working to develop, even if they don't already have a rudimentary bomb today. Saudi Arabia has put out notice that they own some that are over in Pakistan that they could pick up and take delivery on at any time. Pakistan has nuclear weapons. India has nuclear weapons. And all of these are fairly close in. It wouldn't be suggestive of from a far country from the end of heaven. Further afield, you have China, Russia, and France, and Great Britain that have nuclear weapons. Now, they're a bit further away, but the farthest country, the farthest land geographically from what would have been Babylon at Isaiah's time that has nuclear weapons is the United States of America. We possess territory that's the furthest away from Babylon. And so some would say that this could be the United States. And of course, what would prompt the United States to use some form of nuclear weapons? I would imagine they would probably be more likely to be tactical nuclear weapons rather than the massive ones that destroy whole regions at a time. It's certainly tactical nuclear weapons could have some of the results of their faces being as flames and certainly leaving areas radioactive that people would not knowingly want to live there or go there. And so that's a possible explanation. But here's something that's even more interesting. We could speculate what would cause that to happen, perhaps some sort of terror attacks. Now, that brings us to the Islamic State. The Islamic State is gaining territory. They're bigger. They control more territory. They're bigger than the nation of Jordan right now in terms of the territory they control. They control vast oil fields, and they are gaining the territory that roughly corresponds to ancient Babylon. And that would include much of Iraq, south and western parts of Iraq, as well as eastern and northeastern portions of Syria, and then the Tigris and Euphrates River Valley. And we see that being gained by the Islamic State today. And there was a thing in, I'm trying to think what British paper it was, I don't know if it was the Times or which one exactly, but they were saying that they have captured some documents and computers that show that the Islamic State is trying to negotiate with Russia to purchase nuclear technology, nuclear bomb technology, and they're offering the Russians the control of some of the vast oil and gas fields that they've been able to take control of in payment for these nuclear secrets. And so they're angling to become a nuclear power. And so we can see some of these things coming together. But here's something that to me is so specific, it's almost incredible when you think about it. Here's a portion in Isaiah chapter 13 that I haven't read yet. And it says that when this destruction occurs in Babylon, the Babylonians, the people there, are going to flee. And as they flee, in verse number 14, it says, "It shall be as a chased roe," that's a deer, "and as a sheep that no man taketh up, they shall every man turn to his own people and flee every one into his own land." You know what's kind of interesting? Islamic State, though it's largely made up of people from Iraq and many of the people who are active in Saddam Hussein's reign of terror in Iraq are leaders in the Islamic State, but they're bringing in thousands of people from all over the world that are joining the cause there and fighting for Allah to spread the Islamic caliphate that the Islamic State claims to be. And so they're going to flee to their own people, into their own land. Well, why? Because Babylon's destroyed. And it says this in verse 15, "Everyone that is found shall be thrust through, and everyone that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword. Their children also shall be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses shall be spoiled, and their wives ravished. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them." Now the Medes, remember, that's the Kurds today, "which shall not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it. Their bows also shall dash the young men to pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes shall not spare children." You say, well, how could they do such cruel things? What would prompt them to do such cruel things? And prior to the rise of the Islamic State, I looked at that and I saw, well, Saddam Hussein was responsible for killing thousands and thousands of the Kurds. He was trying to wipe them out. He was conducting genocide against the Kurds in his own country. And thousands of whole villages were destroyed as he unleashed chemical weapons, weapons of mass destruction on them. And he killed thousands and thousands, and they were very, very against Saddam. And so you could use that certainly to understand why they might do some of these things. But follow this. If you've been following the rise of the Islamic State has been attacking the Kurds. And what they've done is they've come into an area. They have taken everything of value from the Kurds. They've taken their houses. They've spoiled their houses. They've taken everything of value out of their houses. They have taken their children and literally cut them in pieces in front of their eyes. They have raped the wives of men before their eyes and then killed them. And they have had no sympathy. They've not been able to be bought off. People offered them money for safety, and they take the money and they kill them. I don't want to get too graphic, but they've literally chopped heads off and put them on stakes in the center of Kurdish towns and sown terror in all of that. Now, that's what's been happening. Now, notice again in Isaiah 13, what do the Medes or the Kurds do to the Babylonians? They dash their children in pieces before their eyes, their houses shall be spoiled, and their wives ravished. You know what that says? It says that the Kurds are one day going to do exactly what's being done to them today. It's called revenge. Now, we're not dealing with a large Christian population. The Christian population among the Kurds is very small. For the most part, the Kurds are Sunni Muslim, but they're not fundamentalist Muslims. They are moderate Muslims. It's been said, one authority was quoted, that the Kurds hold their Islam lightly. They're a little more tolerant of other people and other faiths and such not than other Muslims, and certainly much more so than those of the Islamic State. the Islamic State, which is gaining a territory that really seems to echo the territory controlled by Babylon in Isaiah's day, is doing to the Kurds, the modern-day Medes, exactly what the Medes, or the modern-day Kurds, are going to do to the Babylonians. And here's my suggestion. This is what we were looking at our Friday night Bible study in depth. And to me, it seems more than coincidental. We might suggest that we could be seeing a prophecy set up before our eyes, that the area of Babylon is being controlled today by the Islamic State, and that the Islamic State is going to be destroyed. And keep in mind, they're on the verge of capturing Baghdad. They're out on the outskirts of Baghdad right now, and they're capturing other areas. And as they fill up this area, what's going to be done to them when they're destroyed is exactly what they're doing to the Kurds today. The Kurds, in revenge, are going to dash their children to pieces before their eyes, spoil their houses, ravish their wives. They're not going to regard silver and gold. They're not going to delight it. They're not going to be bought off. Their bows are going to dash the young men to pieces, and they'll have no pity on the fruit of the womb, and their eyes shall not spare children. They're going to do back to the Babylonians, which could very well possibly be the Islamic State, who is doing these exact same things to the Kurds today. It may very well be that when the Kurds get a chance, they're going to come out of the mountains and they're going to do this to the ones that are doing it to them right now. And, you know, it's called revenge. And we could see that possibly being put in place right now before our very eyes. Well, I wanted to share that with you tonight, and I think it's something to watch. I think it's something to keep an eye on, and if we begin to see this prophecy unfold, I think it will. We'll begin to see the destruction of Damascus, Egypt, and others unfold that seem to be associated with the same general time frame of the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 13. I'm not saying that that's going to happen for sure right now and that the Islamic State is modern-day Babylon, but it sure seems suggestive of that. We need to watch what's happening in the world. We need to keep an eye on what's happening in the world, because the Bible says in Luke chapter 21, Jesus said that we ought not to be worried. He says, and when these things begin to come to pass, we don't have to wait for them to come to pass. He says, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. As a Bible-believing Christian, this should excite you to see the Word of God being authenticated, not to see death and destruction, no, but to see God's Word coming, being unfolded before us. And as a person who's questioning whether or not the Bible is true, how could words written thousands of years ago so aptly apply to today? If it weren't for the fact that it is the Word of God. We need to put our faith in Christ as our Savior before it's too late. Well, we're out of time here today, but of course, Jesus' invitation is always open. Trust Christ and put your faith in Him. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenold.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenight.maplenold.us. That's latenight.maplenoel.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 6 p.m. Tune in every week to Late Night with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on WHKW AM, 1220 The Word, and Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN. Late Night Live is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
Communications.